hit on for sale by owners a little bit, because I've had several people call for price analysis because they have buyers, and in this market that's not unusual, because there's just not a lot on the market. In fact, I think I did a report the other day, and houses that are for sale in the county I think we had less than 145.
Wow.
And that's nothing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There's houses that have offers on them. I'm just counting those that don't have anything on them. So now what I have seen coming up a lot is vacant land. You know, a ton of lots coming up for sale. But to build, the cost of construction is so high right now that, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of a tough market all the way around for somebody looking to buy a house. But I thought we could talk about for sale by owners and some of the scenarios that go along with that, and some of the pitfalls that go along with that, and why there should be a realtor or an attorney and or both involved. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, good topic. You're going to just start with where there are two private parties, no real estate agent or attorney involved. In other words, private party goes to somebody else and says, hey, look, I want to buy your house. Let's put it together. There's no agent involved. Is that where you want to start? Or you want to start with where it's a FSBO, the for sale by owner, but the buyer is represented by an agent, by a buyer's agent. You start with whatever you want, and then tell me what an owner should do.
Well, let's start with different. Let's start with this one. How about scams? One scam that's out there right now is that someone in the world will see that there's a house listed for rent, and they'll work off of that and say it's for sale. They'll have the buyer send them earnest money deposit in order to get a key to go through it, when in fact that person has no key and no authority to do such. So those are scams, and people should be aware of those type of scams out there. Beware of anyone who says, send me money, and I'll send you a key to get into the house.
I got you. Okay. In other words, you have to be a little suspect of somebody that claims to be the owner, is what you're saying?
Right. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
You know, and that's where having an agent, if you're looking to buy a house and you find a for sale by owner and you think you don't need an agent, you could send someone $3,000 and never see that money, and you might not get anything for it because you didn't have anything in writing, or you had no proof that they actually own the house. And this has happened several times over the years, and this is a prime market for that.
All right, so you want to start the conversation by talking about protection of a buyer who's buying from a FSBO, because I was looking at it. I thought you wanted to start with talking about protection of the seller, or what the seller has to do, or why a seller should hire a real estate agent. But no, you can start with a buyer. Okay, why would a buyer want to hire a buyer's agent where the sale is for by owner? Because the reason the owner's doing it for sale by owner is because they figure they're going to save money by not paying a real estate commission. By the same token, if a for sale by owner calls a real estate agent, the same thing is true when somebody calls me as a lawyer. You know, if they're looking for free legal advice, I'm not going to give them free legal advice. I make my living by providing legal advice. So before I'm going to give you advice, you're going to hire me and agree to pay me. So if I'm a real estate agent and a seller calls me and says, hey, can you tell me how much my property's worth? I'd respond to the seller and say, hey, look, you know, I love you. I want to work with you. But this is how I make a living, is by valuing property. So if you want me to value the property, hire me. Hire me either as the real estate agent to represent you in the deal, because not only should you be looking for somebody to help you value the property, but you should be hiring somebody to help you negotiate with the prospect of buyers, because in this market, there are apt to be multiple offers, plus there are requirements of law that you have to meet, whether it's the Seller's Disclosure Act, whether it's the Lead Disclosure Act, whether it's ordering a title work, compliance with the requirements for closing, compliance with the requirements which the lender has imposed on the buyer, but come back to the seller, whether it's in terms of repairs for a VA or FHA or whatever it may be. So if I'm a real estate broker or salesperson, somebody calls me for my opinion, hey, just give me off the cuff my opinion, your opinion of value, I'd come back and I'd say, hey, you know, I can't do that unless you hire me. And there's also something called a broker price opinion. Can't be done by a salesperson, but a broker price opinion. It's akin to an appraisal. It's permitted by law now under our licensing act by a broker. But, you know, again, people are always looking to try and save money, and what they're doing is they're being penny wise and pound foolish, I think.
Right. And a broker price opinion is going to be a little bit different than an appraisal, because the broker has a little bit more, they're living the market day in and day out, so they have a better feel for what a house will sell for. The appraisal comes in and justifies that sale price.
Wait.
You can hire an appraiser to do an analysis for sale, but I think a broker price opinion, in my humble opinion, may be a little bit more on target, just because.
All right, you got to explain the difference between a broker price opinion and an appraisal, because broker price opinion must state on the cover of the first page of the broker price opinion, this is not an appraisal, it's a broker price opinion. An appraisal is done by an appraiser who's licensed under Article 26 of the Michigan Occupational Code, and the appraiser is required to follow the guidelines imposed by the Appraisal Foundation. So there are certain strictures, certain guidelines, rules that the appraiser must follow that the broker doesn't. And I agree with you that the broker, because the appraiser is bound by those constrictions, a broker price opinion may be more current, I guess. And, you know, what's happening today? What do I forecast to happen in the next week, or et cetera, with respect to the market?
But it's not. It's a little more flexible.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that, because the broker price opinion is not bound by the requirements imposed by the Appraisal Foundation.
Right, right.
Or the appraisal
Let's talk a little bit about the liability of a seller with regard to for sale by owners. If I state that there's hardwood floors and in reality it's a wood veneer, you know, there may be some liability where a realtor would know the difference between a hardwood floor and a veneer. Some of the wood veneers are pretty sophisticated, and they look better than they ever used to. So,
yeah, but again, the major protection for a seller is the knowledge that Michigan is a caveat emptor state. But in order to take advantage of caveat emptor, buyer beware, you have to have a contract that includes an as-is clause. And if it's a smart buyer, a smart buyer's agent, they'll present a FSBO with a purchase agreement that does not contain an as-is clause, in which case the ability to get off the hook for defects in the property is severely limited, severely minimized. So just and other provisions in the contract. It could be tax proration. There are different ways of prorating taxes, some which are advantageous to the seller, others which are advantageous to the purchaser. So if I'm representing a purchaser, I'll put in a tax proration provision that will give me a few thousand dollars more on the deal than if it was drafted by a seller, or particularly if it was done contrary to whatever the custom and practice is in the particular community.
Right. And the same if I'm a for sale by owner and the buyer has an agent representing them, then the buyer's agent they're going to be doing paperwork to benefit the buyer, not the seller.
Well, they better be, right.
Right.
That's what they're supposed to be doing. They should be representing the buyer in the best way that they can. That's where their fiduciary duty lies.
Right. So the paperwork is daunting for both buyers and sellers, and that's why having an agent representing you helps you streamline that stuff. You know, from the sales contract to the property disclosures to occupancy agreements to lead paint records. From listing the property and making sure that the items that are on the listing paperwork are accurate, and from fair housing, from advertising, there's a ton of paperwork involved.
Well, you raise one issue, seller's disclosure statement. a lot of FSBOs wouldn't even know that there's a seller's disclosure statement requirement, and under the Seller's Disclosure Act, if you fail to give an accurate seller's disclosure statement, the buyer, even though you got a written agreement, the buyer can back out of the deal right up to the instant of closing. So that the seller is left holding the bag. They've kept the property off the market for 30 days trying to get everything together for closing, and the buyer finds something else, so the buyer says, sayonara, now go somewhere else. The seller has no recourse. So something as simple as a seller's disclosure statement that needs
to be provided. Or the lead-based paint disclosure, isn't that true?
Same.
Lead-based paint? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you got your daughter. Didn't you get Emily out of a lease?
Now, let's not, wait. Let's not talk about anything personal, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, so the seller stuck with a bad deal, right? Because they didn't know the law with regard to seller's disclosure.
Seller's Disclosure Act. And
if someone's using a typical purchase agreement form with from the Association of Realtors, that there's a clause in there, the mortgage contingency. If the deal falls apart because of the loan, that could happen to the day of closing.
Right, which is one of the things I don't like about that particular agreement. But if I'm a buyer's agent and I'm dealing with a FSBO, I wouldn't necessarily use the association form. A lot of brokers have their own forms, and a lot of larger brokerage companies have forms that they use for sellers and forms that they use for buyers. So from a seller's point of view, you know, the seller can always hire a lawyer, too. I don't want to eliminate the possibility of work for lawyers, but it just seems to me that from a seller's point of view, what you get when you hire a real estate agent is you get the benefit of, if assuming it's a qualified, experienced, competent agent, you get the benefit of knowing what the value of that property is and how to maximize the profit from that sale, whether it's putting in the appropriate tax proration provisions, provisions with respect to just occupancy to eliminate the risk that the seller, for example, turns over the property before the closing, all of a sudden there's a glitch and now the seller doesn't have the money, doesn't have the property, and is now fighting the buyer in court to get the closing to happen. And closings get delayed for a whole bunch of reasons. And so the buyers, simply because they end up having to meet additional requirements for the lender, they keep asking for extensions, so the seller's on the hook again. There's an amendment to the purchase agreement. The seller extends. Finally, the seller gets fed up, but now the buyer says, no, you've extended. So having the advice of either an agent or an attorney can help the seller immensely, I think.
Yeah. The other place where agents are vital is pricing the property correctly. In 2015, there's statistics that show that a for sale by owner lost about 16% of the sale price, because the median sale price of for sale by owners was $210,000. This is nationally. And agent assisted homes were $240,000. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. That's 16% is a lot more than what you'll ever pay an agent to assist you in selling that house.
Yeah, no doubt. Go ahead.
But for sale by owners, they tend to stay on the market longer than one that's put in the MLS and agent assisted. You know, there's we pay to be part of a multiple listing service and cooperate with other realtors. So when you hire an agent, you just don't have the one agent that exposing your property. That agent's exposing it to, you know, in our situation, I think, well, ours, I expose it statewide, so every realtor in the state of Michigan has exposure to that property, and as opposed to for sale by owner, a lot of people don't even know where to go to look for properties that are on the market that are for sale by owner.
Yeah, again, you know, I guess I was starting with the premise that the buyer or the seller already had a buyer in mind. In other words, they've got the prospect of deal there, but neither party has the expertise. That's where you start. I wasn't really thinking about a FSBO who puts a sign out front or puts an ad in the paper. I mean, that's just foolish these days.
Right.
Because you're not exposing the property to the market. And the market for sellers right now is as hot as it possibly can be. And I haven't even started talking about a seller trying to deal with multiple offers and what's the best way to maximize the purchase price without jeopardizing the or without adding to the risk that the seller may have to be liable for two deals. I mean, again, that's when you're dealing with multiple offers and you're trying to maximize it. You know, you run the risk that I've signed an agreement with two parties, and now I can only sell to one of them, and the other one sues me because they claim a breach of contract.
Well, for sale by owner is less likely to even have the opportunity to have multiple offers. And I doubt
that. Why is that?
Because of the lack of exposure. I'll give you a good example. I was going to show a house on Saturday. It came on the market on Friday. We scheduled an appointment for Saturday. They had 20 showings because it went into the MLS. And before the end of the day first thing Saturday morning, I got an email from the agent that said they got an offer. I texted my client. He didn't want to get into a multiple offer situation. But for sale by owner would never have that opportunity to maximize their price.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't. And more than likely, the sale by owners have someone hurt. In this market, it's an agent that heard through the grapevine that somebody might be moving, so they picked up the phone and they've got a buyer looking for a house. So that for sale by owner just isn't even going to take the time to market that property to maximize that value.
Yeah, you know, the other thought occurs to me during the pandemic and the restrictions that are imposed on real estate licensees with respect to showings.
Uh-huh.
Are those restrictions also imposed on sellers so that they have to limit the number of people who are in the house at any particular time? And again, for a FSBO, I'm assuming that if an owner, a seller of a property hires an agent, I assume that the agent is advising the seller as to the limitations imposed by the COVID-19 restrictions. Yes?
Yeah. When somebody had, like I just said, this house had 20 showings, those showings were independent. They weren't all in at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. No, I get that. That strikes me. I mean, that's the other thing, that as a FSBO, you'd be relying upon an open house that you might conduct yourself, but you're not going to be able to conduct it under the current restrictions. Okay.
Yeah, I think those restrictions I don't think that they pose the restrictions don't pose too much of a problem at this moment in time, but still, you know, other problem that is for sale by owners or even someone buying a for sale by owner is how do you negotiate a problem that may exist as a result of the inspection? You know, you don't have that independent party for negotiation.
Yeah, I agree. In other words, a problem arises in the inspection, and they now need to negotiate what's going to happen with it. And, the seller, I mean, I will tell you, too, sellers can get caught on that by creating a potential liability for repair without a cap on what the amount is. I've seen that, too.
Other time, Laura.
Okay. Plus the agent, and we'll finish up, plus the agent is there to help advise the seller or the buyer as to what the realistic expectation of an inspection.
All right. Go sell some properties. I'm signing off.
Okay. All right. So, I'd love to help anybody with selling their home or buying a home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling, you should be thinking real estate. So call Laura Dwyer-Schlechte, 780-3800.